Welcome to the Level 5 Podcast. My name's Steve Willoughby, co-host, along with the man that knows all about Level 5 consulting and coaching, Eric Reynolds.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you.
So the Level 5 Podcast, when it comes right down to it, is to help you in coaching, in training, in getting some energy happening. And as business people, we've all had those days where we go in and however long the day was, but we're still driving home going, how did nothing get done? And really, it's about our people. It's about our leadership. It's about all of those things. And Level 5 Consulting really helps in all of those areas, correct?
You're absolutely correct. Yeah. And we've all had those days that you're describing. And, you know, they come from a variety of different sources, but that's actually something that we'll dial in on very specifically. If we were to work together, it's an area of focus and accountability that has to come first for most companies to succeed.
So Eric and I are doing this podcast because I actually said, Eric, I'd really like to co-host at least the first few episodes of this podcast. Eric and I have, I think, met in late 22 and started talking, and just really, I learn from him every time I'm around him. Good guy and all of that, but I really appreciate what he's doing with Level 5 Consulting. And it's something that we needed here at Ozarks Dynacom, and we continue to need at Ozarks Dynacom. And his coaching and his consulting and how he really breaks that down is helping me understand that process. So I don't know if it was Eric just going, well, I mean, the guy asked, what do I say, yes or no? But he has graciously said, hey, maybe for a few, you can come on here and co-host. And we look forward to it, because every time we get together, it's more than just going through the motions of talking about Level 5. It's really about how do I better meet people, help people, and when I'm saying people, team and staff, and how do I help them have be in their best level? And that's exciting because now you're changing not only people, but you're also changing your organization.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's getting to the heart and the truth of the matter, you know, and to your point, that becomes very exciting. So many people go throughout the day just sort of making unconscious decisions, right? You're just kind of going through the motions, whether it's going to the grocery store or going to, you know, spending some time at meetings in the office. It's become a routine, and you're in autopilot to some extent, a bit of a stupor for some individuals. And what, you know, working with them does as far as getting them to an awareness, which is sort of the fundamental concept of leadership, you're making a conscious decision, a conscious action. And the reality is you have that control. And it's really the only thing you can control, right? Is how am I showing up in a moment? If you're starting to make those decisions consciously versus just sort of sleepwalking through it, the changes I see in individuals and companies they're uplifting for me. You know, they're profound.
After our time together, I have a meeting where it's kind of a process and procedure, and it's like, okay, here's the process and procedure. It's not being followed. And, you know, that can get really, hey, I own this. I need this done. I need that done. And really, we've got to show up with the right energy to those meetings, or they can fall off. They can go off the rails pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it's it gets a little more clever to manage and challenging to manage those situations than even just quote unquote energy, because people can think that, you know, energy, I need to come in upbeat, I need to come in optimistic, I need to come in, you know, listening and rah, rah, I love this initiative. And it really has absolutely zero to do with that, mm-hmm. as far as the success of, say, this, mm-hmm. you know, initiative example that you're talking about, simply because it's how people in that room are looking at that. And, you know, we can certainly talk about this when it comes to those moments, if they're in what we call Level 3, which is where I find most companies that I work with, they're people in that room are thinking, yeah, I can get behind this initiative, you know, and if I'm in sales, I can get behind it. And I hope, you know, shipping and operations get a win out of this too. And that is why that initiative will die on the vine in a couple of weeks. So there's energy. There can certainly be excitement, but there can be absolutely zero results.
Mm-hmm. Because if you're not intentional and you're not moving forward,
yeah,
you know, and the team here makes fun of me on a regular basis, and I kind of enjoy that, and that's okay. But one of the things they really started early on was making fun of me, and is, hey, we're not building a traditional radio station. That was the first drinking game that they had. Every time they did that, they would have a drink of their whatever they happened to be drinking. And then the second was, titles mean something to me, and they mean something in a big way. And I always start that with, you know, your titles say everything about you. And usually people look at me like, and then we get into the titles of mom and dad or brother and sister or son mm-hmm. or daughter or whatever. I mean, those titles are really important. But there's also titles, and they get tired because I don't like the traditional general manager or whatever. I mean, we're team leaders. We're moving forward. And when I first addressed that, you know, people would people would say, well, you're a leader. You're a leader. Everybody's a leader around here. And when I would walk in that, I would say, well, that's the way it's going to be. Everybody will be a leader around here. Yeah. You'll decide if you're going to take that leader or you're going to be around here. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. really when it comes down to that. So Eric, with the level 5 coaching and consulting, has the 5 levels of leadership, if you will. And if you would go through those levels and talk about each one of them kind of quickly, and then we'll go in and really dive into the program.
Yeah, absolutely. So we break out as certified coaches, you know, we get trained to break out energy into one of two areas. One of them is catabolic, which is sort of a draining energy. I'll leave it at that for now. And the other is anabolic, which is one that's sort of sustaining. So the behaviors that you're doing on a daily basis sustain you versus drain you. When we look at 5 levels, there's actually 7 in total. We'll focus on 1 through 5 here. Levels 1 and 2 are catabolic. Level 1, we like to assign catchphrases with these levels. So to go through those levels very quickly, level 1 is I lose. Level 2 is I win, you lose. So good news, you're accepting there's going to be a win out mm-hmm. of how I'm acting, right? I'm going to get a win at least, but it's got to come at someone else's loss in that case. So those two are catabolic. Anabolic-wise, we step into that with level 3. I win, and if you win too, that's great. As I said earlier, I find most organizations that I work with at this level as a whole. And it can be rather tricky because, you know, you're in that meeting that we talked about. You're leading it, and man, everybody was pumped and jazzed. But then you come back to it next week, nobody's done anything. There were other things that came up. Oh, I had a deal I started chasing, and I couldn't get back to that mm-hmm. initiative, right? Level 4 is you win. That is the level of service. So that is just, you know, a good example of a primary level 4 individual would be a social worker. And then we finally get to level 5, which is we're all going to win or we're not going to do this. And that's one in which everyone is going to get a win out of it, and everyone is actively ensuring that someone else is getting a win out of it. So in that meeting that we've been using as our example, those individuals just aren't thinking, oh, sales is going to kill it with this initiative. They're actively going to engage the leaders of shipping, in my example, the leaders of operation. They're all going to work together actively, making sure that they're all getting a win, or we're just going to rethink this. We have an opportunity to redo it. So until you refine it to that level, you don't really get sustained momentum on those types of initiatives.
Some quick questions. you don't stay at the same level throughout the course of the day. I mean, once you're at level five, nobody's going to come along and knight you, and all of a sudden you are level five walking
around. You get badges. You get a badge to wear around. No.
I'm a big badge guy, man. I'm a big badge guy.
You are not a level of energy. You know, you are not that. You go up and down them throughout the day. So the part of energy leadership, which is just really consciously deciding how you're going to be in those moments, that you have the capability of doing. But hey, we all face, you know, different situations during the day, getting cut off, you know, on the highway, whatever it is. We're all human, so we go up and down those moments.
Let's start at level three, because you said the majority of the people you work with are in level three.
The companies, yeah.
The companies, yes. Yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit and give people the opportunity to say, am I in level three? Or maybe I'm, you know, let's just, when you walk in and you're able to go, okay, this is level three, what have you seen? What have you heard? What have you experienced that helps you get there?
Yeah, great question. It's one of those things that has to develop a little bit as far as me being able to observe some things. So I'll answer this in two parts. The first is I have actual assessments that I can bring to bear within organizations or for an individual, if they're looking for individual coaching, that helps me get a read on where they typically are on a daily basis. It's actually a very brief assessment, but it's proven to be incredibly accurate. So there's a tool I can use that helps me get there, right? And sometimes those are completed before I ever even set foot or I'm introduced to the organization. So it can give me a bit of a heads up. Second, it helps me to, see those type of initiative meetings or the company meetings as a whole. If, you know, the routine weekly meeting that the staff has that nobody wants to attend, that is like, you know, it's not just, I don't have any updates from last time we talked as a group. I haven't made any progress since. So I don't even want to go in that room. Right. So after seeing just a couple of those interactions, I can generally get a read on, you know, what's going on organizationally by how those interactions go down. Is there a lot of frustration? Is there someone like yourself as GM going, clearly we have a misunderstanding here because no progress is being made. So I want to dedicate this meeting to a Q&A where you guys hit me with your questions, because there's got to be confusion about what we talked about last week. And then you can, you know, cue the cricket soundbite, right? At that point, there's no questions. It's not that they didn't understand what the initiative was about. It's that there's no group moving it forward. There's no team consensus.
I have been known in my past that in the company that I worked with, I've said, well, they've only asked this one time. I'm not agreeing with it. They aren't going to be serious unless they come back two or three more times. That's not a good way to handle something, but I have handled things and, you know, because sometimes it's like priority. We got to figure out what we're doing. And really, it wasn't that I didn't understand. It was, yes, I'm not in favor of that. But the last thing was, if I can just kind of move and dodge, this is going to go away because they're going to forget about it.
Bob and weave.
And I remember that every time I talk to somebody now, because I remember how I used to do it. I don't want to be that person that is trying to convince everybody I was the perfect employee, right? So when we talk about things, you know, I try to say, hey, let's talk all the way through. Push back. Don't be trying to get employee of the week. We don't have that award here. Or employee of the month. We don't have that. Let's talk in reality. Be intentional about it. And if you think it's ugly, let's call the baby ugly so we can get past that. How important is that?
It's critical for level five, because in the reality of, we don't do this unless we're all winning, right? We're not going to move forward with this until, in essence, it's ready. And it's ready when everybody is signed on and said, okay, my area that I'm responsible for is going to get a win out of this. not just the organization, right? And it's quite simply said that if all the areas in our team meeting analogy are getting a win, the company's going to get a win too in that case. So there can't be that individual that's sitting there that's not speaking up in those moments. And that can be really tough because, you know, those individuals in the past can have been handled in one-off conversations, one-on-one, because say you as the GM knew that they're more communicative if I talk to them one-on-one. Mm-hmm. That silo conversation that you're having with them is not benefiting the organization right. as a whole. So one of the areas that I have to do in most times when I engage with an organization is to actually coach those individuals who are hesitant to communicate on speaking their mind, on not being fearful of what they need to put out there. Because you know this as the GM, when you are up at a certain altitude with an organization, you know, I'll use, bomber altitude, right? You're up at 50,000 cruising in military airspace. You know, that barn in that field beneath you is really, really tiny. You can't even see it mm-hmm. from where you're sitting, right? So you need the folks that are closer down to the actual level of operations to be giving you the facts and boldly giving you the facts on what's going on.
You are listening to Level 5 Podcast. It is our premiere episode. Eric Reynolds is the coach. He is the consultant, and we're going to talk about that in just a little bit, but I want to give you how you can find Eric. His website, lvl5consulting.com, lvl5consulting.com. You can find him at EQR Coach on Facebook. On LinkedIn, it's Eric Q. Reynolds. And a few things I want to talk to you, the audience, about Eric, like he's not here, is one of the things I really appreciate is his ability to communicate, his ability to coach, his ability to understand, you know, what you're trying to explain to him. I found that to be a very strong suit of Eric's. The other thing is, while he would love the opportunity to work with you, he's not looking for a 20-year agreement or a long-term agreement. You're very much, if we can get this going pretty quick in 12 to 18 months, probably shouldn't be something we could do, right?
I'm looking for 19 years, not 20. So I'll be fine with that. We're good. Just sign here.
But it's not the 20
years.
Just sign here.
Promise you things will get better. No, you're absolutely right. And it brings to a very fine point one of the aspects of, you know, the reality of working with me. So if we are, say, 4 or 5 months in and I'm sensing that we just don't have the kind of momentum we should have at this juncture, and I'm relaying that, it's probably because individuals within the organization are essentially camping. You know, they're either camping or quitting. And I believe it might even be the Sandler sales method that says you've got quitters, you've got campers, and you've got climbers. And that's so then comes the uncomfortable conversation that I may have to have, which is, you know, I don't know if you're going to be able to get to where you want to be, i.e. level 5, if these individuals don't change, if they don't alter how they are interacting in those team meetings, how they're managing their staff, et cetera. So to your point, I don't want to hang around for years. You know, that's just not the type of engagement that I'm looking for. These principles, these concepts are not ones that take forever to engage. And say I come into a company and I start a 6-month coaching window with a group of your leads, your executives, whatever your business size is, we need to see progress at the end of that. We need to see a delta from when I began in momentum to where we are now, or we're going to have, you know, we'll be just talking about the reality of you don't really have the right individuals right now, and I hate to break it to you, you know, but that's what you're paying me for. So sometimes that happens. Sometimes people select out themselves. They self-select out because they see there's an accountability window coming for me, and I don't want to face it. I don't want to manage that way. I don't want to upset, you know, Pat in shipping. So, you know, there's all kinds of intriguing things that can happen. But you know, all of that to say, yeah, I should be done in a year to a year and a half max with an organization.
One of the things we talk about here is we're going to own every problem we have because we can't fix any problems we don't own, right? We can't, if we, you know, I like sports analogies. The sports analogy, either taught or allowed. I got that in football. That's where I learned that, taught or allowed. Not that I ever played football, but in watching interviews, either you're allowing your team to do this, or you're allowing yourself to do this, or you have taught them to do this. There's no other reason something happens.
Yeah.
And when you have that type of ownership, number one, it's very difficult. I mean, all the time, it's like, wow, okay, another problem we own. We ought to get to fixing some of these at some point, but at least we're owning it and moving forward. How important is that through the levels of energy?
It's critical. It starts at the top, too. You know, I don't want to work with an organization if I'm not working with the individual at the top. Simply because if they are sort of looking at this as a, hey, can you come in here and clean this up for me type situation? No, not if you, not I.
The yard guy can come clean stuff
that's
up.
Right. That's right. You absolutely. <know? laughs> Take care of it. Look really pristine out there.
Right.
Your Bermuda grass will be growing really nicely.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the situation of where they just want to sort of sit back and watch a purge of some type or, you know, see what happens. Those just aren't beneficial. And I only made that mistake one time. And I learned from that. So it's critical in that situation to have the accountability coming from the top. And also that, you know, I work and help that individual at the top be the leader they want to be. It's really critical to understand when I come into a company, as you mentioned before, I'm both a consultant and a coach. Consultants come in and they're using sort of known wisdom, known expertise, and candidly at times bring known belief systems into, okay, here's what you need to do. However, the coaching side of me helps magnify those higher end qualities, those capabilities, those leadership nuances of your team, so that you now are sort of getting your entire organization at a higher level of leadership. And that gets magnified 10x once everybody starts clicking in that vein. So it's a really unique combination. And the changes are usually felt, you know, within a couple of months, as far as how people are interacting with each other, some new things that they've learned about how they are themselves. So the difference is profound within a short period of time.
And when you have that opportunity and when you're able to get things moving in the right direction, you know, this level five consulting, it impacts everything from how well the team comes together, how well the team works together, to revenue, to profit, to all of these different things. It's not just, okay, we're going to go coach something or we're going to go consult something and then hopefully things get better. It's, you're really in there stirring this up, cleaning it up, and it's going all throughout the system.
Yeah, we're going to shine a light in those dark corners, you know, and we're going to find out every little aspect so that we can get that lift that you're talking about. And also, I would go one step further in that it changes people's lives, period. These principles are not ones that you just use at work. You're not just GM, as you talked about titles earlier, right? Your father, right? Your husband.
Right.
So these are principles of leadership and engaging with other individuals in ways that It's the rising tide lifts all boats situation. And you just have a generalized, calm, hopefully joyful type approach to things. And instead of the long sighs and great, it's another problem. And I'm not talking about just work. I'm talking life in general. It's really like, you know, okay, this is an opportunity. Maybe it's not an opportunity I wanted to be looking at, but nonetheless, I now have an opportunity in front of me. How do I adapt? You know, how do I lead myself through this?
Yeah. One thing that, and it can aggravate people, but one thing I believe very much is you don't have a job and a boss problem. And I left an organization once thinking I had a job and boss problem, and I had to leave that organization in order to fix that situation. Well, when I left, I realized all those problems were still there. So it, you know, and I realized at that point, well, no, idiot, you were the one showing up to work every day. You were the one in control of that situation. Mm-hmm. So it really wasn't that problem. You were the one still going there. You weren't in prison. You just thought you were. And really what I see from these levels, having that understanding that I have control of where I am on this scale, and I have control of what I can do and how I can, you know, am I responding or am I reacting? Am I really there for the other person, or am I just giving this lip service? And hey, we all have those moods. I mean,
yeah,
you know, I'd be lying to you if there wasn't times that I wasn't in level one where I lose, but hopefully that is behind closed doors with me looking in the mirror saying, you got to get over this crap. You got to get better than this. You know, yeah, better than that. So have your little pity party for 30 seconds and then suck it up, you know, and let's go.
Well, that's, you just basically encapsulated a every time experience that I will have with individuals when I debrief them on the ELI assessment they've taken. So the ELI assessment, which is what I referenced earlier, gives you how you sort of hang out in average moments in the day on an energetic level, right? Level five, level three, level one. But the other thing that it tells you is how you handle stress and where you go energetically. And almost every time, the level one is the highest percentage on that stress scale, right? So to your point, we're human. We have a bad incident. We go to level one. As we coach, one of the things that I stress that's critical is it's not about the fact that you have the level one reaction, which is built around perhaps fear, victim, lethargy, apathy. Those are all level one aspects.
And level one, again, is the I lose. That's the catchphrase for that particular level.
And it's critical for me to point out that these levels, I don't look at them in terms of good or bad. There's good. You need level one at times, right? If you're hiking in Alaska and you come across a Kodiak, you need to think, I'm going to lose this. The fight or flight needs to kick in immediately, or the adrenaline needs to kick in immediately so that you can react clearly and concisely as fast as you possibly can, right? So the challenge back to that and about that sustaining or not sustaining, if you ran away from that one Kodiak and somehow managed to escape, by the way, they can run 45 miles an hour, yeah, so I wouldn't advise it. But if you made it out, laid down in the woods, and another one came walking up, guess what?
Yeah.
You're shot. The adrenaline has drained you, right?
So people, it is not your day.
No. And people can go through their day with that dour attitude that you mentioned, that I lose. I'm losing just by going into the office because my boss is this and my coworkers are, you know, gossiping and all those things. And they don't really realize that that's kind of just like a slow drip drain of their energy. So natural at the end of the day, they're exhausted. As a business leader, you don't want a bunch of people running around like that. Your initiatives will never even get the wheels off the ground.
We have a lot of business folks that are self-made, and when I mean that, nobody's really self-made, but they have taken the initiative, they've worked hard, they've done all of these things, and one of the things we talk about around here is that successful people aren't lucky, they're not necessarily smarter than everybody else, they just put up with the crap and work through it. They accept this is not going to be a fun walk, but we're going to walk this walk. We're going to get it done and hopefully learn from that. And through that requires all kinds of, I would think, levels to get through and succeed. But sometimes, and people I have a great deal of respect for, they have forced themselves to work later. They force themselves to do all these things, and now they're thinking their employees are going to come behind them and be that same situation, and they're not, right? I mean, the majority of them are not going to do that. Yeah. And I just think it requires some different levels of leadership. And I get called hippie all the time. I call myself that because 20 years ago, that wasn't how I did things. But I don't. Combination of being older, combination of probably, you know, a whole lot closer to the end of the finish line than I've ever been in my life. And I want to make a difference, but I want to impact people when they're home. I want to impact their life like you were talking about. How important is understanding these levels? I mean, you're still the boss. You're still talking to them on what has to be done. But how I look at that, if they constantly need a boss, that's my fault, and I'm either coaching it or allowing it and what needs to adjust. So am I off base on that?
No, I don't think so in the slightest. You're empowering people, right? You want to empower people to make decisions in your organization within their known area of control. And that known area really is something that the great leaders make sure everybody understands what that is, right? You don't want someone that's, you know, coming in here and, you know, working the front desk as a receptionist, signing contracts with your next customer, right? In that situation, it's just, it's beyond the pale. So in those situations, it's really critical that you as a leader are engendering this sense of, look, we're all in your corner as an employee. We're all actively trying to help you get the win. You need to be reciprocating with us, and you also need to be moving your area forward. And I think often what I see is that those individuals might on their own be willing to put in a little bit of the extra time. You develop this sense of team and group that they don't want to let anybody down. It's not going to create the atmosphere that you had as an individual who just slapped on the yoke and plowed the field yourself, so to speak. Right.
Right.
That those days should be limited for you as far as getting to a certain point. And then the others that fill in to support you within your company or your business as you grow it, there has to be an expectation that they're there if they're needed. But most importantly, to your point, they know themselves when they're needed and they react. It's not you pulling them along. It's not you saying, you know, we're way behind on this initiative, so I want you to meet me Saturday at 9 a.m. and just write that morning off because we're going to go through, we're going to figure out, you know, what's going wrong. If you've gotten to that point, you've missed something.
Right. His name is Eric Reynolds. He is the owner of Level 5 Consulting and Level 5 Coaching. You can learn more about him at LVL5Consulting.com. Now, Eric told us that the majority of the businesses that he sees is in Level 3. And if you're just tuning in, let me quickly go over these catchphrases. Level 1, I lose. Level 2, I win, you lose. Level 3, I win. If you win two, that's great. Level 4, you win. And then finally, level 5, we all win or we don't do this. It's interesting. We don't need to go into the details, but we had a situation that I asked some of the personalities here on the air. And I said, hey, do we want to do this particular event? And they said, you know, because of 1, 2, and 3, we're not sure we should do that. And 1, 2, and 3 were great reasons. And it really, it was one of those situations that I went, I should have been the one that said, yeah, with this situation the way it is, we probably shouldn't. And I replied back to him and said, I just want to tell you, I appreciate the transparency that you were able to say that instead of saying, ah, he wants to do this. I don't know why we didn't think, you know, through all mm-hmm. of that. What level is that? I mean, and I don't even know if that's a good question, but I just want to help people kind of see those different levels.
Are you asking in the sense of them providing that feedback to you?
Yes.
What level
yeah.
is that?
Yeah.
It's 5. Because they're being transparent with you. They are all basically, and it sounds like there was a consensus mm-hmm. of that, correct? Mm-hmm. So they're being truthful and transparent enough and not fearful of giving you that feedback. That's level 5.
Yeah, and they both said, we're there if you want us there. Not sure how we're going to overcome that. And I was yeah. like, well, I can tell you how we're not. So, yeah. you know, let's adjust that. And all of a sudden the answer became, you know, we can't really deliver the experience you're looking for. So we're going to step out of this. Here's another option, you know,
yeah.
maybe. And we gave them that. But yeah. anyway, that's good to know. That's,
well, and it's an important point too, Steve, because you can't remove the chain of command. In these situations, level 5 and energy leadership is not about everybody, you know, holding hands and we're all the leaders and we're making every choice by consensus. That just can't happen. There are situations where just both from an authority perspective mm-hmm. and a leadership scenarios where you want that feedback that you're talking about, but ultimately you needed to make the call. Right. So that's just a classic. Okay. My team has informed me that this is not a good idea. There seems to be a consensus across the board. I trust them. And so I'm making the call that we're not doing it. Just a classic level 5 moment.
When you go to people, when you walk into a business and you see a lot of I lose,
mm-hmm.
where did that start? If there's a lot of level one, I lose folks in a company, what can you say about the company and feel pretty sure that that's what that is? I mean, and I want to be careful here because you don't walk in, you're not the consultant that walks in and says, okay, you're either this or this. I mean,
right.
you're going in and finding out and doing the coaching. But
yeah.
at the same time, if you couldn't walk in and kind of have an understanding, then all your years of experience would not be serving you, right?
Right.
So
yeah.
you walk in, you see a bunch of I lose. What can you say about or conclusion you can come to regarding that company?
So you mentioned earlier that, you know, when you talk about a certain topic of, you know, there's a drinking game associated mm-hmm. with it, right? Well, typically within organizations, every time I ask the question, why? Take a drink. And initially, especially with sort of an entrenchment around level one, that why is coming out of my mouth like bullets come out of a machine gun, essentially. So it's one of those cases where when you ask that open-ended question and challenge someone as to why something has to fail, why we shouldn't do this, why there is already a belief that this initiative is not going to work, you would be shocked at how quickly those assertions fall apart. Because they're literally reacting in an emotional sense in those moments. And there's just nothing to back it up. They could say something like, well, we've tried this 2 times previously and it failed both times. The very definition of an assumption is that because something happened some way before, that's the way it's going to go down
right.
if we try it again, right?
Right.
Planet Earth would be a very boring place if that was the case.
Exactly.
So it's one of those things where, you know, I will challenge any one of those preconceived notions that I feel are coming from fear or coming from lethargy. And hey, if they've got a better idea, the good news is when I challenge it, it's always going to be followed with, well, if you had to accomplish this, how would you do it? Because you know, it's one thing to sit back and sort of, you know, just say, no, this isn't going to work. No, that's not going to work. Sort of armchair in the negative, if you will. It's another thing to make sure that people are providing how they believe it will work. And individuals can begin to take notice in those moments that, yeah, I'm just kind of barking a lot. You know, I'm not really giving solutions. I'm just kind of,
right,
you know, barking, yeah, whatever. And so as a net effect of that, people tend to start to ignore them. And
100%.
people get the idea, oh my God, I am being ignored.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm speaking up, but I'm actually being ignored every time I open my mouth. So do you want to go on being ignored, or do you want to actually feel like you're a member of a winning team? Well, most people would answer that, you know, how we would think they would.
You're listening to the Level 5 Podcast. This is episode 1. We have so many great topics coming up in the upcoming weeks to help you not only become a better leader, but to help in every area of your life, including your business life, with the revenue. In a couple of weeks, Eric's going to talk to us a lot about revenue and what kind of impact this revenue has. But let's get you in touch with Eric. You can find him at LVL5consulting.com, and that will give you all his contact information as well. Or you can jump onto Facebook at EQR Coach. On LinkedIn, he's Eric Q. Reynolds. This is important stuff. It's important stuff because I won't get into politics on this particular podcast. It's not what the podcast is about, but I think I will tell you that there's an agreement, and I think Eric and I agree on it, that one of the best things we can do for our country is have a lot of great businesses that are serving people and are a great place to work and candidly being very successful. Because when we do that, when we help that happen in our region, everybody benefits. And, you know, Eric had a conversation this morning, won't get into it. It was with a client and they were looking to do some different things. And we had a lot of talk about, I think, you know, you should look at some other groups that are similar to us and we would be willing to work with them. A little bit of a surprise from the customer. You mean you would work with them? And our standard answer is, we're not here to build the radio industry. I'm not, that's not what we're all about. We're here to help you build your business. Mm-hmm. And they fill in a lot of the areas that we don't, and we fill in a lot of areas they don't. That's the best thing for you. And it was a little bit of, really? You know, you're willing to do that. And again, yeah, don't know what level that is, but we're in a different time business-wise. And if we're not looking to work together and collaborate, I think we're really behind the times on being successful. How does that affect the levels?
Yeah, in your scenario, if I understand, their surprise was coming from your offering up other potential,
right,
collaborators of other businesses,
right?
Right? Well, as you, as the GM, what likely happens if you take on that business as is? If you say, great, sign here, we'll work with you. What's going to happen with that contract?
Right.
It's going to start fizzling.
Yep.
You won't be able to deliver in certain areas. You'll have the knock on your door or the phone call, you know, John's on hold on line 3, Steve. And you're like, I don't want to take this call.
Right.
You know,
right,
because I knew it when we talked to him. We can help out 75% of their need, but I knew this is where we were exposed. So catching that stuff and being collaborative and open, especially, you know, towards other businesses, you're just helping the engine of America, which is business. You're helping it run smoother. You're looking at it in a sense of there is no limitation. There is no sort of finite amount of business for everyone to have. So I need to take my chunk. You're just simply looking at it from abundance and saying, hey, we've got other partners. And by the way, because I've recommended this to you, we're all going to win together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm,
we know, once again, that that's a level 5 concept. And you probably recognized the energetic shift in that moment with those people. When individuals run into higher levels of energy than they're currently experiencing, more often than not, it's not, you know, it's not a, oh man, not him again, Smiley Joe, you know, is coming down the hall. No, it's a, wow, you know, what's got you singing a great tune today? Or, you know, that was great talking with Steve, the way he truly wanted to help us out.
When we, I would imagine as people are listening to us and as they're thinking of their business and they're thinking, man, I'd love to have Eric come in. I would think the next thought is, but he's going to find this and this and this and this. And
yeah,
I think we had that conversation when we talked about, hey, getting together, I said, hey, this is not going to be pretty. I mean, back when we talked, I mean, we're really uncovering and was pretty transparent about where we were with things. For somebody interested to contact you, but maybe a little intimidated of, wow, I'm going to rip off this Band-Aid. I mean, you know, they're going to see me naked and it's with fluorescent lights and all of those things. That's not an exciting opportunity for me. What do you say to those folks?
Yeah. So I'll before I answer that question, I'll share a little story about the website that I have out there now. One of the ways I was going to go about the homepage was, just have a header up there that says, you know, I help businesses succeed, and then an asterisk next to that. And then the fine print would say, by the way, I can't help you unless you call me.
Mm-hmm.
And then an asterisk on that, and underneath that saying, you just had three thoughts run through your head as to why you're probably okay. You know, to your earlier point, people will come up with those reasons of like, they get that urge, they get that natural instinct to say, man, that's what I need. And then they rationalize reasons as to why now is not the right time. So, you know, I'll do a bit of just in the biblical sense, you know, we're not in control of the plan in that sense. So maybe the right time will come at a later point. I'm not the one to decide that. I'm not going to sit here and say, you're just letting the right time go right past you. I don't know the circumstances of you. I've never met you. So what I can say is that when we do an initial consultation, which is, I do not charge for just, you know, a phone call and hearing about your business and what situation you're in, I think you're going to get a good idea on what the next steps look like for you. I don't want to work with organizations that aren't in the right spot or that I don't think that I can help, similar to what you did by referring out, you know, to another situation. But there is absolutely zero downside to setting aside 30 minutes for a conversation, right? So if you're thinking you're in that spot and then you begin to caveat those situations, you really just have to ask yourself, you know, would you rather have a little exploratory discussion or would you just simply be okay with status quo going forward? Because it's not going to get better on its own.
And if you decide on status quo, man, at least look around and say, what other decisions am I making to keep a status quo? Because you could probably come up with four or five, okay, in this area, in this area, in this area.
Yeah.
You know,
ask yourself in that situation, you know, what are some things that I could do immediately that would be impactful to the team that I am leading, or the organization that I'm leading? And even if you come up with one or two that change some type of dynamic that is driving everyone towards being comfortable sharing, giving you the reality on how it's going and shipping, that's going to be a positive step.
You're listening to episode one of the Level 5 podcast. His name is Eric Reynolds, and he is an expert when it comes to Level 5 consulting. He's a certified coach. And one of the other things I want to talk about is, yes, you're a consultant, but it's not a consultant that because you can't find a job. It is a consultancy that is built on foundations of you having some major sales experience, leading very strong sales departments and organizations in your past. So this is really the best of both worlds. You've been in that seat saying, wow, I'm at level one maybe right now or whatever that is, yeah. And where you've had to work with teams and all of the, and then you have gotten out of that seat across from that person and help them coach that team. And you have strong understanding of what they're going through.
Yeah, I was blessed to have significant success leading sales teams of all different sizes of organizations, you know, from small entrepreneurships all the way up to billion-dollar corporations. And in those scenarios, I always had a belief at the time that the methodologies that I was using to manage the sales team were what was causing the success of the organization or the sales teams as a whole. And my wife was looking into at the time becoming essentially taking the master's level courses. It's about 15 months to become a certified coach. She convinced me to come along with her for the journey. And as I started to go through that process, I realized that only half of what was really happening on the methodology side. And by methodology, I mean, you could have, say, strategic selling as a methodology, Sandler sales method, Revenue Force as an example, all ones that, you know, companies may try to instill within their organization. But I began to realize that there was so much more of an energetic component to what I was doing. And I was honestly fortunate enough to be doing some of it without knowing I was doing it. You know, I can give you examples of going to like President's Club events with companies where, you know, my whole team makes President's Club. And we go to the event and some of the other sales leaders would say, you know, does it bug you that your team just kind of hangs out with you, you know, while you're here in Aruba, you know, for this junket? It's like, no, we really enjoy each other's company, you know? So it's there's a level of solidarity there within the group that everyone knows everyone else has their back. And so, you know, it's a powerful thing as I learned. And I, at that point, I just began to be very curious about what would happen if I started working with organizations on not only a practical level, a tactical level of how's your sales plan? What are your documented behaviors? What are you expecting, you know, from your marketing resources, those types of things. But also, you know, how's everybody doing on the leadership side? Where's their mindset? How are they? And do you even quantifiably know where their mindset is? Started to, it was just a no-brainer for me from there. I was like, I have to do this. I have to start outreaching to organizations because it's powerful.
And you have some really, and we will get into this in the future episodes, you have some amazing stories of clients that you've worked with and learned from, you know, where, hey, we know we can handle X amount of accounts, and once we get to that level, we're going to fire our worst account. I mean, that is a strong position to be in, and I don't want people thinking that if they come to you, then you're going to come up with all these rules they have to go. That's not what you're about.
No.
But learning that and understanding that and giving them that input, they can learn from that. We can learn from other successful people and less successful people as well.
Absolutely. I'll never forget that conversation. And it's a big distinction to your point on how I would approach things as both a consultant and a coach. Consultants will come in and they will have sort of their idea of success. And that is an imprint or a blueprint that they want to overlay on your organization, right? And there's a 10-step process to do that. As a coach, we're going to spend time understanding what your idea of success is. Where do you want to get to with your organization? What does that look like for you? I'll even find out what that looks like for your executive team or the two or three people who are your key personnel in your business. And we can talk about the alignment or misalignment there, right? So we've got to get that consensus. And I don't want to come in and say, I know what your success should be, Steve. But just sit back. I'll tell you what it should be, and we'll take these steps, and we'll get there. And 5 years later, when the contract is over, you know, everything will be great, kind of thing. It's absolutely not that approach. It's about helping you figure out what you think it should be and getting you there. That's what a coach does.
And sometimes the coach is that person that helps you understand, I don't have a damn clue what success is. I'm trying to fight every day to stay standing, you know.
Yes.
And there are probably more organizations than we want to talk about that that's really where they are, because it's a dogfight out
yes,
there.
Yes, it's a daily trench battle. It's a trench warfare. You know, it's we're dug in here along this line of representing our product, and our competition is out there, you know, across the battlefield, and they're representing their product this way. We're the premium solution for a premium price. They're the discounted solution for a fast installation kind of thing. And so, you know, those, that's why I said those discussions have to happen initially as to where you want to get to. And if I've given you the awareness that you don't really even know what that is for you, it doesn't take many business leaders to realize that's a problem. That's mm-hmm. that's a real problem. If you can't answer the question of where do you want to be in 6 months? Where do you want to be in 2 years? Where do you want to be in 3 years?
Well, let me stop you there.
Yeah.
How much of that answer should be flat out numbers? This is where we want to be in market share and revenue and all of that. And how much of those answers should be, hey, we want to grow in people, or we want to hit this culture mark, or whatever that looks like. Do you have, Is it down to that kind of science?
Well, I would say that's individual. I will tell you that I'd say individual circumstances with the organization. I've only worked with one organization that has been more, we want to shape the culture to a certain way. You know, we want to get this level of transparency and communication, this level 5 commitment going on within our organization. We're actually doing pretty well business-wise. So, you know, that was a different one for me, for sure. The vast majority have been, we to go along with our other challenges of initiatives failing before we even get out of the meeting room, we've got revenue issues, right? We're not making our numbers and the goals that we're setting. So I certainly wouldn't sugarcoat it that that's not the majority of the problem in that case, which, again, as a sales leader, I know exactly what those situations are like. Mm-hmm. You know, I've come to companies that need turnarounds. You get told through the interview process, you'll be vetting the entire team. And, you know, if you need to clean house, you clean house, that type of thing. So I understand the tactical nature of needing to get the revenue up. But there's always, regardless of either of those situations, the need to take a look at how are we viewing things, and do we even view ourselves as leaders?
When we take a look at it, when we think about it, you know, one of the things we talk about here is we're always talking about going to that next level. We're always talking about going to, hey, we want to go up a level. We want to, you know, and my point is, hey, that next level is going to come with next level problems. Things don't get easier at the next level. I mean, and even when, you know, we can say we're hitting all the numbers, we have all the revenue, there's still that next level that money, you just can't make it easier. We have to become stronger pushing through. We have to become better. We have to be intentional with our accountability and all of that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a component of level 5 that says level 5 organizations, individuals are as excited about the things that go right as the things that go wrong. So when it comes to situations where you launch an initiative because, okay, guess what? We just made it to this next level of sales. We made it through that gate. That's where we wanted to be. Now we're trying to drive it up another 15% in the next quarter. We've got a whole new set of problems now, right? We've got all these legacy clients that we've got in our organization at rates that we haven't upped in 7 years. They're great references for us, but what are they going to be reference-wise if we start raising their rates to get them where they need to be in order to support them? So that's an example of where, okay, now I got this whole new set of challenges I got to deal with. But you know what? Those are really all opportunities. Those are situations where you get that same team with that level 5 approach back in the room, and you get everybody to give you honest consensus on, I think that's going to work for me. and I think that's going to work for the organization, you'll get there. You'll get there. But to your point, you do have to face a new set as you go forward.
You're listening to Eric Reynolds. He is owner-operator of Level5Consulting.com. That's LVL5Consulting.com. You can check him out on Facebook at EQR Coach or on LinkedIn at Eric Q. Reynolds. So what about you? What about your organization? Where are they as far as these different levels? Where are they as far as their energy, and where are they as far as contributing to the organization and to the success? As we come back in the next few weeks and talking with Eric, we're going to be talking about more on the revenue side. We're going to be talking more about the energy side and some of the things you just talked about. But again, invite folks to give you a call and kind of one more time, tell them what that call is going to be like.
Yeah. So it's, first of all, there is no charge associated with it. So I'll remove that concern from you. And I'm really going to want to listen. Part of being a great coach is being an active listener. So there are certain things that I want to understand on what's going on with your organization, but I also want to hear your version of what's going on without me sort of boxing it in with a bunch of questions. And I'll talk to you about some of the tools that I have that can not only quantitatively assess where your organization might be on a energy level, but also on a performance level, sort of a 360 analysis of everything going on within your organization, if you think that's helpful as a place to start. And then also from there, we'll talk about where you want to get to. What are those goals? And most importantly, why? Why do you want to get there? That's one that often leaves people a little crickety, if you will, of like, I don't have an answer for that one at this point. So great question. Let me think about it type thing.
And you will offer some consulting and coaching to help them come up with that answer.
You bet. Yeah.
Hope you've enjoyed episode 1 of the Level 5 podcast. We will be back next week with episode 2. And again, LVL5Consulting.com, at EQR Coach on Facebook, or Eric Q. Reynolds on LinkedIn.